Welcome to Power Tools to Success. This is a show about overcoming adversity and making a difference. Your host, Philip Rampisa, interviews guests from all walks of life to help you succeed.
Hello and welcome to Power Tools to Success. This is a show where we give you all the tips that you need in order to achieve your goals. We speak to experts that give you advice and share advice with you so that you can overcome obstacles and achieve your goals. Today's show is truly exciting because finances are an emotional subject to most of us. We're going to be talking to Kilebogile Moeketsi, who is a financial and a credit repair coach. Kilebogile is going to help us with advice. We're going to talk about 7 practical steps to bust your debt. This topic is exciting because, as you all know, sometimes we just can never have enough of money. Kilebogile, thank you so much. Welcome to the show.
Philip, thank you so much for inviting me. This is such a warm welcome. Thank you.
So, 7 practical steps to bust your debt. But before we start, I just want to know, as just the first question before we get to your 7 steps, are there behaviors that we can avoid or ways that we can use in order to avoid getting into debt at the first place? And I'm asking this not knowing if you're going to cover it in your 7 practical steps. Should we just skip it and get to the 7 practical step? Or can I just ask why we get into debt in the first place?
Philip, that is actually the first step.
Oh, I'm way ahead. Okay. So what is the first step?
Philip, you know, the first step is actually reassessing financial habits. In my book, Money Bucket Holes Explain, one of the things that I mention is the relationship actually between our spiritual being, our soul, and our body, which I will refer as our physical being. So you are quite right when you're saying, you know, money is an emotional thing. So I would like to maybe unpack it a little bit to address your question as to what type of habits do one get to do that would lead into debt. When I talk about how our spirits and the soul and the body affects our finances, you know, our spiritual being is a higher level of how we can operate, and our soul, which is ideally our minds, our mind, which will be your subconscious mind and your conscious mind, and our feelings, you know, our emotions, and also our will. Those 3 elements, they put together our soul. And then we've got your body, which is the physical being. So when one is dealing with money or is also having financial issues, we get to be wrapped around our emotions a lot. Even our mindset is not operating at its vitality because we are stressing a lot. And remember, our subconscious mind, whatever negativity you fill it up with, it will just expand. Even if it's the positive thinking, it will just expand it. And now when one is going through financial difficulties and feeling sorry, feeling shame, you think about all the things that you haven't done right, or the things that are going wrong in your life. It can be anything in all aspects of life. So when you go through any of those roller coaster roads, they tend to affect the way you associate yourself with your finances. Now, what do I mean by that, Philip, is that, let's say, for instance, one has lost a job. It's a very emotional issue. your mind, you know, you're always thinking, how am I going to cope from now on, moving forward, my kids, my family, my debts, and my living expenses and everything. So you end up being wrapped around that in the negative way of worrying instead of opening your mind to what will be the solution moving forward. How do I go forward? How do I plan my money finances? Do I need to reduce my expenses and all that? And then we get so emotional about it, some people will end up doing what we call the retail therapy, even if there's less money available. And some people may just, you know, go into a depression in its levels. Then we end up not having a energy or a motivation to do something about our debts, which is now your willpower. That's why a lot of people, when they go through debts, they don't take action sooner. They wait. They will usually wait until it's too late, or it's a little bit late, when creditors now or collectors are knocking at their doors. They want to repossess their cars or their house, or they are constantly calling them. So the relationship between those three elements and our physical space, it's what makes people to not act swiftly with their finances. And then the other thing that I would like to mention is that lack of financial literacy, not being financially savvy, is also one of the reasons that a person would find themselves not being able to control their finances, or giving every rent a job, or being the manager of their finances accordingly. Because the other concept is that people would think that the more they earn, it's very relevant to them being debt-free. So finances is not about how much you earn, it's actually how much you keep and grow.
Yeah. So financial debt, make more debts when you've got, when you earn a lot.
Exactly. And creditors are also will be also knocking at your door, wanting to issue you with credits and everything, because now you earn more. Because there's a difference between affordability of credit, and qualification of credit. When you think you qualify for credit, does not necessarily mean you can afford it. But we've been brainwashed for so long by the banks and the credit industry that when you qualify for credit, it actually means you can afford it. That's one of the reasons that leads people into debt. The more they qualify, the more they take more credit.
That's true. I laugh, but it is true, because the more you qualify, the more you're like, I mean, if you qualified for 10 million, you'd like, I'll take the 10 million. But I mean, to repay 10 million, if you borrowed 10 million like in a period of 20 years, that is easily almost like, I don't know how much that would be, but easily it can be 200,000 rand a month that you have to repay. So yeah,
sure.
That mind of whatever I qualify for, I take. So the first step is be self-aware, or aware of your feelings and your spending habits. Is that the first step in summary? Then?
Yes.
Okay. The second step?
The second step is a budget. You know, a budget, I don't think this is the first time a listener will be hearing about the word budget. But I want to advise them on how to go about doing a budget. I usually advise my clients to separate their budget in two ways, or in two phases. One, you put together all your debts, meaning all your accounts, your creditors, people that you've requested credit from, or lenders. And then you have your living expenses. Your living expenses for your petrol, your water and light, school fees, grocery, and all that. Because when you do that, you are able to see as to how much income, where is your income going? Is it leaning towards debt, or is it leaning towards living expenses? And most likely it's going to lean more into debt. If a majority of people, close to 80% of our income goes to debt. So, but when you put it on paper, it becomes a reality to you. Now, once you've done that budget, you would write down what you wish to pay for each and every one of them, or what you must pay and what you are actually paying. For instance, one can say, I want to spend 3,000 on groceries, but in reality, you realize that every month you are actually spending 4,500 on groceries. So the actual and the budget on those in each and every column of your budget. The third one will be to check your bank statement. Oh,
is that the third step now?
Yes.
Oh, but okay. So on budgeting, you were saying something. Sorry, we'll get to the third step. It's just I'm listening to you, and then some of the things that you're saying, you know, are really good, and I want to make more sense of them so that, you know, the people that are listening can get insight, because hey, this is important. So in terms of budgeting, you mentioned something about that point about what you're willing to spend and what you are actually spending. And you mentioned three things there. I don't know if what you have to spend or what you're willing to spend. And can you please elaborate that more, a little bit more, before we move to step three?
The budget, remember now, people, when you're having financial challenges, you need to say, I'm earning 10,000 and I need to see to it. How do I need to spend this 10,000, or where is it going to? So now, the budget is what you're willing to pay, or what you must pay, and the actual is what you are actually you've been paying all along for the past 3 months. So the third element that I'm going to talk about is going to fit in into the budget, which is the bank statement.
Oh, okay. Let's go to the third element then, reading your bank statement.
Yes. So you draw up your column to say, this is the budget. This is what I want to pay. This is what I must pay for each and every one of this item. And then the second column is the actuals, right? Now, when you take your third step, which is your bank statement, your bank statement would, you know, it's like the reality in your face, even though, and that's the reason why a lot of people don't check their bank statement. They would think of their bank statement when they want to take credit. So take at least 3 months bank statement and analyze your spending behavior. That's when you realize that the budget that you said you want to put together moving forward, is it aligned with your spending habits in the past 3 months, your actuals? So that's when you will see that, okay, I have to now fasten my belt on this item. I need to adjust here, and I must keep paying this one. This one, I need to write it off. Because now the bank statement will show you in a day, you're shopping 5 times and different places and this and this and that. And also those declined debit orders, or the debit orders that went through. So those are going to be very, very clear to you what have been the actuals for you for the past 3 months. And that not only does it add up into numbers, but it also gives you an understanding of your credit, your financial behavior, which is now step number one that you've already talked about.
Hi, I've done that before, Kilewohile. I must be honest. Eh? And, you know, a metaphoric way of putting it is that your bank statement can, at times, almost, when you read it, it can almost feel like a horror movie, because some things that you do, you just don't believe when you calculate, like, because you take all the expenses and you're like, but man, I went to the mall and I just spent 2,800 rand. What was I thinking? You know? And as you swipe, and another thing with swiping is you just go, hey, you just swipe. And you know, it's not like spending cash. So when you open the bank statement, I'm just, you know, reaffirming what you're saying. You know, sometimes you just see horror. So that is then the third step. You know, read your bank statement, taking into consideration what you've had on the second step. So you're now taking your actuals, what is really happening, and what you wish to do. And then you begin to see, oh yeah, man, I'm so far off. So that is the third step. What is the fourth step?
The fourth one, Philip, is now getting your credit report. You know, one is entitled to get a free credit report at one of the credit bureaus. But if one needs an expert advice on a detailed credit report, it's something that they can get in touch with me. I will assist with them. The reason I advise that they get a credit report is what is your credit state? What is your credit score? But the credit score at the moment is not much of a priority. But what is important is how are your accounts at the bureaus? So that is the first, one of the main reasons. The second main reason is to check the old debts that one hasn't paid for the past 3 years, and they're unsecured debts. If those debts are not, they don't have legal actions like judgments and that, it's possible, actually one has a right to write them off. So most people, you find that they are going through a financial stress and 50% of their debts are actually prescribed. And all that they need is to find a debt expert like myself to help them write them off. And it is their actual legal right to write them off. So when you get your credit report, you need to check not only how your accounts are at the credit bureaus, but also check the old accounts that you haven't, old unsecured accounts that you haven't paid for the past 3 years. Debt prescription is one topic that we can even have a separate podcast on that. Now, when you are clear.
Yeah, you're right. Because to me, it sounds like, and sorry to interject and interrupt you, but okay, to me, it just sounds like if you've got unsecured debt and you couldn't pay it and you were not in a position to pay it for 3 years, for some reason, you can write it off and go almost say free. Yeah.
Is that really
I understand it.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
That's what we need to do another podcast on this one.
Okay,
it's just
we
a
are.
Whole topic on its own. I get so excited when I get to write off those debts, whether it's 100,000 or 50,000 or 1,000. You have a legal right to write it off. We know how to go about helping. I mean, Philip, I'm all about helping my consumers or my clients to exercise their consumer rights. I'm very passionate about that. So I do that every day.
Wow.
It's just that a lot of people don't know about this consumer right, and the debt collection industry is taking advantage of it on a high level. People are stuck on debts that were dead.
Sure.
So it's very important to get credit profiling and get an expert advice on it, so that you know what you are legally obliged to pay and what you are not. Because if we find out that 50% of the debts that you're worrying about actually can be written off, you are no longer over indebted.
Great. Wow. So you get your credit report and see how your accounts are at the bureaus. And also then you might just be able to exercise your right to write off debts that are older than 3 years that you haven't paid. Wow. The fifth step.
Unsecured debt.
Unsecured debt.
The fifth step is. Your fifth step is get now account statement. After you've analyzed your credit report and you see, okay, this one are not prescribed, then you need to get those statements. Sometimes you get statements, e-statements, electronic statements, but we don't even look at them. As because it's also one of that reality check that we try to avoid.
Yes.
So it's high time we pay attention to those account statements to see what is actually your interest rate. I'm telling you, Philip, a lot of people that have taken credit, they don't even know their interest rate.
They were interest rate, in simpler terms, when you look at your statement, usually your statement would have the amount that you pay, the actual amount that you pay towards the debt. So like you pay 2,000 rand as an example. And then all of the sudden, out of the 2,000 rand, you see that the debt is only getting reduced by 300 rand because the 1,700 rand is just interest. And I mean, we call it interest, but in my layman's language, for me, it's like just like money that's just taken and thrown into the bucket and it does nothing for you because like you're paying 2,000 rand and somebody comes and they steal away the 1,700 rand and you only reduce 300 rand in your debt. Your interest is not nice, but I get that. So you say you check the statement and you see how much interest you're paying.
Exactly. You are so on point, Philip. That's why you hear a lot of people say, I've been paying this account for so long, but it does not even go down.
you would end up going to an Inyanga to say, hi, now this account is miraculous because I've been paying it for 7 years.
I tell you, do something to me, I know.
Yo, it's because of the interest, eh?
Yes, the interest. I mean, when you look at unsecured debt, especially like your loans and the like, you can pay as high as 35% of interest. And there's also an element of reckless lending in between and the likes. But you know, unsecured debt like your credit card, your personal loans, your micro loans, they have a really high interest rate. It's just that, like I said, people would get excited for getting approved. That's where, you remember earlier I said, getting approved for credit does not mean it's an affordability to you.
Yeah, true. Very important to remember that because that excitement, you know, and I mean, the practicality of it is you are just sitting, for instance, and you get this call from a salesperson and they say, we can actually give you 400,000 rand or 50,000 rand. And you're thinking, your mind already thinks about how you're going to spend that money. But you get caught with that for the next 6 years because now every month you have to pay like 4,000 rand for the 50,000 that you took and you spend. So I'm just repeating it, Kilebogile, because it's such a reality. And people get caught in that and they get trapped for years, eh?
Yes, that's true. That's true, Philip. And it's very sad. And should anything happen along the way, like losing a job or your income is reduced, that's when things really tighten up. You know, one financial mishap is very, it's like a steep downslope into debt. When one has a lot of credit in that manner.
Yeah. So the sixth, the sixth step, what is it?
The sixth step is negotiate. Now you are clear as to where you are financially, what accounts do you still need to pay, what your living expenses, and you've analyzed yourself as to you've seen your weakness and your strength in terms of finances. Now, if you happen to have a lump sum of money that you would want to pay off one or two accounts, negotiate. Try by all means to negotiate before you settle any of your accounts. Negotiations are not guaranteed, but it is worth doing it.
Wow. Can you do that when you settle your car, for instance? Or is it just for credit cards and loans and all other things?
It's not likely so, because, you know, with assets, it's a different, different type of credit. But if it happens that your car was repossessed and you've got a surplus, I mean a deficit, and your car, it's something that you can try to negotiate in the long term, or in the maybe after a couple of months or so, or a year, if the deficit was such a huge amount, if you want to settle it, because they usually take it from a vehicle account to a unsecured debt, you know.
So then, Gilebohile, what we mean by negotiation is take the phone, call the bank, or walk up to the bank and say, I've got a sum of 20,000 rand. I owe you guys. Or don't tell them how much you have. And you just say, I owe you guys 25,000 rand. I would like to settle it, and I don't have money. What's the lowest amount that I can pay to settle it? Is it something like that?
Something along that. But I would caution our listeners to say not to do negotiations over the phone. Rather, it's best you do your negotiations in writing, even if it's via email. It needs to be in writing. Avoid doing negotiations over the phone, especially in a call center environment. You need to have a written document, because the reason I'm saying this is that let's say there's an agreement over telephonic agreement to give you 30%. Then you go and pay a settlement. You submit a proof of payment. In most cases, because I get these cases a lot, some of the creditors will say, this account is still outstanding. How are you going to, you know, prove to the creditor that no, you spoke to this person on that day and this was the negotiation? Now you can't get a paid up letter. Now you can't clear that account at the credit bureaus if it was blacklisted. So if you've got a settlement offer in writing, then it's very easy to make payment based on its terms, and then you send proof of payment. They should be able to provide you with paid up letter. But if they refuse, you have a way to fight your case because you had a settlement letter.
Wow, thanks. Step number seven?
Step number seven is pay your accounts now on using a snowball effect. Why are you laughing, Philip?
because I don't know what a snowball effect is. Yeah, I hear people say it, but yeah.
Yeah.
But you'll explain, okay. So I'm listening.
Snowball effect is to say, okay, I've got these five accounts. We've got the smaller ones to the higher one. You target to settle the smallest debt first, whilst paying the bare minimum on the higher ones. So In that way, not only are you able to pay off your accounts much quicker, it also gives you that, you know, achievement and motivation to keep going. Because, you know, when you settle off one account, it's really such a huge milestone. It encourages you to say, okay, if I was paying 500 rand into this small account every month and I've settled it, I'm taking out this extra 500 rand to pay off the next smaller account, you know? So in that order, until you are left with bigger accounts now, and you have freed up amount of money that you used to pay for the smaller accounts. You need, though, to have a discipline in that to make sure that once you pay off this small account, whatever that you used to pay for that on a monthly basis, you add it up to the next smallest account.
You know, when oh, yeah, I'm listening.
And negotiations is an ongoing thing. At any given time, you have a lump sum of money and you think it can pay off one of the accounts. You continue negotiating until you finish paying off your debts.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, as you were mentioning that, you know, start with a small account first. I was just thinking about gaming. You know, in gaming, they do that so well, because when you start a game, like, you know, the games you play on a cell phone or a tablet, say you are, I don't know, shooting zombies or whatever in the game, they give you few zombies first and you shoot them and you pass that level. And then the next level, it's got more zombies and you shoot that and you go until in the final level, you meet the boss. So that's exactly what you're explaining about debt. You start with the smaller guy, you kill the smaller guy, and then you go to the next one that's almost like bigger, and you kill that one. And then now you've gathered all these resources to face the boss, the bigger debt. And then you're like, boom.
And the confidence. The confidence. So, and then you kill a small one, you go like, yay!
Yeah. And can you imagine in gaming, if they gave you the big boss first, you wouldn't play that game anymore because you would think this thing is impossible. I hate it. So, I mean, like, if you're trying to start with your bigger debt, that's the exact same feeling you're going to get. It's going to feel like it's impossible. So kill the small guy first. I like that, Gilewele. I like it too much. But Gilewele, there are people that a person that is retrenched or have lost their job and now they've got nothing. And I'm just thinking about the seven steps now, which I've looked at. And I don't know if we should do another podcast on that. But if you've lost your income, you know, the approach would be slightly different than when you're earning an income and you can budget and you look at your statement and you plan how what you're going to pay. But if you've lost an income, I think maybe for another podcast sometime, let's talk about that. Like, you've literally just lost your income. Then what do you do? You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. We can have another podcast on that one, because the approach would be slightly different, because there's also an element of getting, how would one get income? Because the debts and living expenses will still be there, but you as a person, you're still here and you still have a second chance in life. How do we coach you to turn things around?
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. True. And you know, the coaching is so important, because I'm just talking about this because I want the listeners to know why this matters so much. The coaching is important because the value of having somebody that you talk to constantly, that helps you with the immediate obstacles that you are facing, you know, is I don't know, I can't even quantify it, because there's things that we cannot do on our own. And that's being true. In a financial crisis, I believe, is one of those things. So, Kilebogile, when people want to reach you, how do they reach you?
Philip, they can visit my website, is www.ilebogile, the one that ends with G-I-L-E, ilebogile.me, where they can check out this coaching challenge that they can do also on their mobile app online anytime, and also some of the coaching programs and debt management solutions. And also my book there, they can also reach out for it. They can also contact me on 082-299-3430, 082-299-3430. I'm also on Instagram. It's Credit Repair Coach _ Kilebogile. My Facebook is Kilebogile Books. They can get me on Facebook, LinkedIn. It's my full name, Kilebogile Moketsi. So yeah, we can connect on those various platforms.
Thank you so much, Kilebogile. Any final words to the people that are feeling hopeless right now and are facing a financial crisis? What could you say to those people that can help them turn their lives around? Any final words of advice?
Philip, my final word would be, you know, one of the reasons I got into this space of debt management and financial well-being is I walked through my financial crisis journey, you know, and I know what it means to be over indebted. I know what it means to have no money, to look at 10 bucks and don't even know what you need to do with it. But all I can say to them is don't give up on yourself. Don't give up. Remember that you still have a purpose. You still have a reason for being. And sometimes when you are down, is when you get an opportunity to look deeper into your greatness. Sometimes the pain is what can turn into passion, or that can open your eyes. So it's very important to understand not to give up, because I feel very sad when I have to go to the hospital and I'm called by a psychologist to go and give financial coaching to a depression patient due to finances, or the person who tried to commit suicide because of financial challenges. It's really not nice. So you're still here. Hang in there. You still have a purpose. There's still another chance. You're still breathing. It can be done. And it can be in your favor. Just be sure that you can do it.
Kilebogile, thank you so much for your inspiration. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Philip. You are such a greatness.
You've heard it all right here on Power Tools to Success. Whatever you are facing right now, remain inspired. Move all mountains and obstacles that stand in the way of your success. Do not dare give up on yourself and your dreams.
Thank you for joining us. To consult, reach us, or subscribe to our newsletter, please visit www.philiprampisa.com.